In the opulent courts of 18th century Arabia, Vatek, the ninth caliph of the Abbasids, towers over his subjects both physically and in his boundless ambition. His most terrifying feature? An eye so penetrating it can strike dead anyone who provokes his displeasure. This is no ordinary ruler, but one whose appetites know no limits. While ordinary monarchs might be satisfied with traditional pleasures, Vatek constructs five extraordinary palaces dedicated to sensory excess, from the Eternal Banquet, where 300 cooks work in perpetual shifts, to the Retreat of Joy, housing the world's most beautiful women. But what truly sets Vatek apart is his intellectual hunger. He surrounds himself with scholars from every tradition, astronomers, alchemists, mystics, rewarding those who please him with unimaginable wealth while imprisoning those who disappoint. Despite divine warnings, he builds a tower rivaling Nimrod's to study celestial movements and await a prophesied stranger who will unlock even greater mysteries. What makes Vatek's character so compelling and disturbing is how his flaws mirror our own modern concerns. His addiction to novelty and stimulation reflects our society's endless pursuit of new sensations. His belief in his exemption from moral law echoes the behavior of today's powerful figures. Aren't we all, in some small way, susceptible to the seduction of knowledge without ethical boundaries? Everything changes when a hideous merchant arrives at court with magical items defying natural laws, self-cutting knives, walking slippers, and enchanted sabers with mysterious inscriptions. The stranger answers questions with mocking laughter, triggering both Vatek's rage and fascination. After the merchant supernaturally escapes imprisonment, Vatek becomes obsessed. His mother Carathis, versed in dark arts, advises offering rewards to anyone who can decipher the saber inscriptions while threatening failures with beard burning. An elderly scholar succeeds, translating, "We were made where everything good is made. We are the least of the wonders of a place where all is wonderful." By the next day, the inscription changes to, "Woe to the rash mortal who seeks to know that of which he should remain ignorant." This shifting text embodies the novel's central warning. What appears as an invitation to glory reveals itself as a threat. Yet Vatek cannot resist the unknown despite clear warnings. When the stranger, revealed as the Giaour, an emissary of evil, reappears, he offers Vatek a potion that instantly cures his illness. Vatek embraces this hideous figure, shocking his court, but delighting his citizens, who now celebrate the once feared stranger. During a feast where the Giaour eats voraciously, Vatek demands explanations about the mysterious sabers. The Giaour responds by rolling through the palace like a ball, vanishing into an immense chasm. After Vatek camps at the precipice for days, the Giaour's voice offers access to subterranean fire and Solomon's treasures if Vatek renounces Muhammad. When the caliph agrees, a black chasm with an ebony portal appears, but entry requires the blood of 50 beautiful sons of Vatek's nobles. This bargain transforms temptation into corruption. The Giaour doesn't force Vatek's hand, he merely offers what the caliph already desires, allowing ambition to corrupt from within. This is how most moral compromises begin, not with dramatic falls, but with small justifications leading us away from our principles. Vatek hosts an elaborate celebration for 50 noble boys who play innocently, unaware of their fate. At twilight, Vatek calls each child forward with false benevolence. He presents magnificent treasures, diamond bracelets, emerald collars, ruby aigrettes, chosen to enthrall each young recipient. As he offers these gifts with one hand, his other pushes each trusting child into the gulf, where the Giaour mutters, "More, more." This scene marks Vatek's moral nadir, the moment his corruption becomes truly irredeemable. The juxtaposition of childhood innocence with calculated betrayal creates horror exceeding the supernatural elements. After the final child disappears, the chasm seals. When parents inquire, Vatek lies about accidental falls. They see through his deception and turn the crowd against him. The scene illustrates how societies sometimes sacrifice their most vulnerable for power. Beckford suggests corrupting innocence is the ultimate transgression, marking Vatek as irredeemable before his final judgment. While Vatek initially appears villainous, his mother Carathis emerges as more disturbing, actively encouraging her son's corruption. Rather than restraining him, she volunteers to prepare another offering using his treasures. From ancient catacombs, she retrieves mummies, and from galleries guarded by one-eyed mutes, she collects venomous oils and exotic woods hoarded for infernal powers. When loyal citizens rush to save their sovereign from an apparent tower fire, Carathis suggests these exhausted rescuers would make perfect offerings. Her mutes efficiently strangle all 140 men for the sacrificial pile. The tower shakes as corpses vanish in flames, transforming from crimson to rose, replacing stench with fragrance and revealing a feast. This grotesque transformation encapsulates the novel's moral universe. Evil promises reward, but demands increasing depravity. Carathis represents the intellectual justification of evil, viewing human lives merely as currency for power. Through her, Beckford explores how evil requires rationalization to flourish. Following the Giaour's instructions, Vathek journeys to Istakhar. Disaster strikes in mountainous terrain where wild beasts attack. Wolves and tigers devour the guard while vultures circle overhead. Salvation comes from two dwarfs bearing fruit, servants of Emir Fakhreddin. Despite Carathis' warnings against these puny messengers, Vathek's hunger prevails. He follows the Emir into a lush valley sanctuary. There, Vathek meets Nurohihar, the Emir's beautiful daughter, betrothed to her cousin Gulchen Ruz. She falls under Vathek's spell after experiencing a vision in an enchanted grotto where mysterious voices promise treasures for the charming daughter of Emir Fakhreddin. When Fakhreddin attempts to separate them by drugging both children to appear dead, Vathek discovers Nurohihar alive. Their passionate reunion exposes the scheme, and Vathek postpones his quest to possess her for many a moon. This interlude represents Vathek's final chance at redemption, an opportunity to abandon his dark quest for genuine connection. Yet their relationship becomes corrupted as Nurohihar becomes his accomplice rather than his savior. Carathis interrupts Vatek and Nurohihar's retreat. On their journey to Istakhar, a disguised genius offers Vatek a final chance at redemption, which he rejects. "I have traversed a sea of blood to acquire power." At the Black Marble Terrace, inscriptions inform him he violated their pact, but will be admitted anyway. They enter a vast hall filled with pale figures, each with a hand pressed to their heart, avoiding one another despite the crowd. Eblis sits on a globe of fire, a noble-featured young man marred by malignant vapors, emanating pride and despair. Through bronze portals, they witnessed former kings with hands fixed upon their hearts. Solomon's transparent bosom reveals his heart engulfed in flames, punishment for forbidden curiosity. Realizing their mistake, Vatek begs for release. When Carathis arrives, a voice proclaims, "All is accomplished." All three suffer the same fate, hearts burning with eternal fire. The ending's power lies in its psychological sophistication. The damned suffer not from external torture, but internal burning, eternally conscious yet isolated. The novel warns that unbridled ambition ultimately consumes itself, leaving only endless regret.